Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out UnitedHealthcare insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Get in, loser! Mean Girls is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Join Katie Heron as she meets the plastics and Tina Fey's new twist on the modern classic. Get ready for more of the rumors, backstabbing, and jokes you loved from the original movie with some fetch surprises. Rated PG-13. Wear pink and head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you are having a wonderful week so far. Before we start, I have a Discord channel. Please hit the link in the description if you want to get involved. Give away merch, talk about podcasts, give away music, tickets, you know the score. Get involved. Secondly, if you do listen to this podcast and you have not subscribed, please subscribe. I'd love it if you could. Just means the podcast can grow and get bigger, and we can bring on bigger guests and we can make more interesting content and kind of turn it into something even more special than what it already is. This week on the episode, I sat down with Waf. I've known Waf for a while now, and we've kind of occasionally bumped into each other touring. He's so nice, such a nice human being. And he has some really interesting projects that he's done in the favelas in Colombia. He has a record label that is purely based on all the profits go to giving money back to charity. He's also a fucking insane producer and DJ and tours around the world, left, right and center. Had a few health issues recently, which has been really interesting to talk about and get into. So yeah, without further ado, wow.
Recording in progress.
Mr. Waf, what's cooking, man?
How you doing, mate? Good to see you.
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. I've been, I'm actually good now. I've been off for like the last few weeks. I had to take a couple of weeks off. I basically completely fucked my ears.
Really?
Had like a real scare as well. I've had issues with my ears for a while. A few years ago, like maybe 4 years ago after Burning Man, I got a double ear infection afterwards. I was traveling from Lake Tahoe to LA, and you know, like with the altitude when you're driving through different areas and your ears pop.
Yeah.
That happened to me, but I was asleep, and it felt like my head exploded. Oof. And I was in absolute agony. I had to go straight to hospital, and this woman looked into it. I mean, I didn't know it was my ears at the time. It just felt like my head was like, there's something bad's happened to my brain or something.
Yeah.
I went to the hospital. The woman looked in my ears and told me that my eardrums, both of them, were nearly ruptured, and she had to inject me with steroids and told me that I must have had a sinus infection or something, and the pressure of the altitude changing can burst the sinus infection into your ears and give you an instant ear infection. So since then, I was off for about 4 weeks. I went not completely deaf, but I feel like I probably had about 10 to 20% of my hearing left. It was terrifying.
Yeah.
For 4 weeks stuck in a hotel, I couldn't fly anywhere. And I was just in this hotel, just sort of experiencing going deaf, and it was like so scary. But obviously I managed to like get myself sorted, had the medication, and the infection went away. But then since then, I've noticed that I've had like a bit of, well, it feels like my ears have declined more often than it was before since that point. And just recently I've been playing so much over the summer that when I came back after like this long tour, like 6 weeks in South America, and it was just an intense tour. I came home, I was making music in the studio, trying to get some projects finished whilst I had only 2 days at home.
Yeah.
And my ears just blew out. So
whoa,
this right eardrum was completely knackered, and I got told I had acoustic shock, which I didn't even know what this was, but basically when I was making a track, a sample that I dragged into the track, I've never had this before on Ableton. I'm still confused how this even happened, but I dragged the sample into it and the automation was on full blast. So when it played, it sounded like my speakers just blew up nearly. Yeah. And it gave me such a shock in the seat. And I was like, oh my God. And I felt really weird afterwards. Went to the doctors. They told me I had acoustic shock. They also did hearing tests. They told me that my results showed that I had a critical, that my ears were at a critical level. I was nearly classed as disabled. Jesus. Because of minus 35 decibels. Yeah. Minus 35 decibels is considered a disability, supposedly. And I'm minus 34. So he was asking me, he was like, well, are you not having to lip read people's, like, you know, when people are talking, you must be having to lip read. I was like, what the fuck? No way. I'm not having to do that at all.
That's so wild.
Yeah, we had to do loads of tests. They basically said that my results showed that the damage to my ears wasn't even from anything to do with loud noise exposure. And I was like, what? He told me that it was to do with something else. It could be your brain. There might be issues with your brain, and I had to have all these brain scans. I had to do MRI scans.
Damn.
And he told me it might be a degenerative disease. He told me it might be genetics. All these scary things, man. I was just like, I can't believe I'm in this situation. I thought my ears were getting bad because of sound.
Yeah.
And now it turns out there might be something really, like, deeper on what's going on. So he told me one good thing about it, though. He was like, maybe it might be the liquid that can get blocked in your inner ears after infections. So, yeah, he said, hopefully it's that. So I had to go back, do tested brain scans, everything. I was shitting myself. Luckily, everything came back positive. My brain's working great. I don't know how. My communication from my brain to my ears is working fine. And we figured out through all these different painful experiences I had to go through. But they put like an electrode on my eardrum and found that when they put all the frequencies into my eardrum, they've seen that I've actually got fluid blocked in my inner ear. And the best thing about it is I'm now on medication that clears that, and you can also get your hearing back once it's gone. So
where's your hearing at now? Like, where is it?
Mate, well, this is the thing. Like, I've always felt, I mean, I definitely have noticed over time, recently anyway, that I have to have things louder. Like, the TV has to be louder, and my laptop on a night would have to be louder. But I just wasn't, I think I've got so used to it, I wasn't aware of how muffled things were. So now I've been on the medication for, I did steroids for a week, and then that was to bring the inflammation down from the acoustic shock. And then I started on this new medication for 4 weeks, which clears out the liquid and fluid, and my ears are better than they ever have been. So I feel like I can hear everything fine. But right now, basically going back to how am I, I'm good right now. And yeah, it's just been a scary couple of weeks.
Yeah, man. I know you said it's not to do with music or anything like that, but do you DJ with earplugs in?
No, this is a problem. So I've been DJing for 12 years consistently, as we do, and I've never wore earplugs until, I'm such an idiot because I got earplugs molded years ago.
Yeah.
And when I first started out in my career, I went and got ear molds, put them in. I'm literally behind a DJ booth. I put them in thinking, right, this is going to be great. I put them in, they were minus 25, and it literally went from all the crowd cheering to suddenly just couldn't hear any of it. And I'm no joke, I pulled them out and went, fuck that, and threw them away.
Yeah.
I just threw them away. And then I never tried them again. And this is when I was younger and I probably didn't think anything bad could happen to me. I was like unstoppable in my mind. Mm. But then as I've got older, mate, as soon as I reach 30, I'm 34. But since I've been 30, everything's been fucked. Now it's like
downhill.
Loads of shit can happen. So, yeah, man. So I'm gonna consciously make more and more effort to just try and get through my sets with earplugs. Did you wear earplugs?
Yeah, I've literally worn earplugs since I was like 13 years old.
See, that's the thing that I'm jealous about, because I feel like the people who can wear earplugs have kind of really done that from the start, who are just so used to it.
Do you know what? Now, something that what really helps me is I sometimes put my, or when I first started gigging as well, I would put my earplugs in like an hour before the show.
This is what I've been thinking, and a lot of people have advised me to do that. Yeah. They've said just put them in before you get to the club. Do you know what's weird, mate? Because when I'm playing, when I've got it, I actually really like having earplugs in when I'm in the club and I'm in the DJ booth. It just feels more comfortable to be in that, you know, loud environment. Yeah. It's my problem is when I start playing, because I have anxiety anyway. I'm a socially anxious person, not in a way that I can't be sociable, but just internally, I've always had anxiety and I just overthink stuff. So before I get on and play, I don't get nervous. I just get anxious. So, you know, you want to do a good job.
And totally.
You're trying to read the crowd. Sometimes you know, the crowd might be more difficult than other places. So I kind of get in my head a bit. So when I've got my earplugs in and I'm mixing, I feel like in my headphones, I can sort of hear it fine. Cause you know, you've got the bass still there. The mids are quite there. It's the tops that it kind of gets rid of. But as soon as I start bringing in the next track and mixing it in without my headphones and listening through the actual speakers, I just feel like I can't really tell if it's fully mixed in right. And then I end up going, is that in? And I pull my earplugs out. Then the sound goes really loud and it all feels out of balance. And then I just find myself getting more anxious because I'm DJing, but I'm not actually paying attention to what I'm doing or the crowd. I'm more focused on, wait a minute, is everything like, it just gets me too stressed. And then eventually I go, I can't do it. But now I need to really try and do it.
I get it completely. It's such a strange concept to like have something in your ears when you need to listen. But for me, like that, to be fair, it also depends on the sound, on the monitors, because there's so many clubs have really shit monitors, like really shit monitors, and you're just like, you just end up winging it. But like for me, I've always had really sensitive ears, and like if I don't wear earplugs, my ears will be ringing for the next 2 days, and I can't. Yeah. Like that makes my life outside of music terrible. So if I don't have that, I have to.
I mean, I'm exactly the same. My ears are really sensitive. My ears ring for days after. I've had tinnitus and ringing in my ear, mate, for as long as I remember. And right now I don't have it. It's mental. I've had it for as long as I remember, and right now I don't. Wild. And this is the mental thing, is that obviously the music is contributing, the loud sounds is contributing to the health, the damage and the health of my ears. But the frustrating thing is that it's been just fluid from an ear infection that never cleared up.
That's wild.
And I've had no idea about it. And I've just gone throughout my life for the last 4 years, whilst this fluid, basically it blocks your eardrum from vibrating properly. Yeah. So it actually makes things muffled. And I just thought, this is how it is. This is just my ears, but it's not. It's because I've got this fluid. It's so frustrating because it's not actually the loud volume that's been doing this. It's just that. It's such a simple thing to get rid of. And now I'm like, fuck's sake, I wish, to be honest, I should have gone to the doctors earlier, but I can't be arsed.
It's weird what we do though, isn't it? It's weird what we put up with our bodies of like, and just like, rather than, like we look after our cars better than we do our bodies.
Yeah, I don't have a car and I look after it well.
But it's that thing, isn't it? It's like we look after everything else apart from the one thing that we actually need to look after. Because
I think we tell ourselves like, oh, it'll be nothing, I'll be fine. And we kind of give ourselves like some excuse, some reason to sort of maybe ignore it. Or I think we just kind of think, oh, we'll be fine, it'll probably be nothing. But as I recently, there's been a few things that have been happening where it's like, I feel like I'm getting pushed into making sure that I'm just healthier. Like my life is going in such a healthier direction than it ever has before.
Yeah.
I barely go out, barely party. Like I barely take anything anymore. Like, I have a drink when I'm playing, and you know, I might take something to keep me going if I'm playing a longer set. I always play long sets, but like that's just me now. I used to be just out partying all the time. Yeah. I could like now when I go to Ibiza, I'm getting out of there straight away. Like, I'm just like, I'm not.
You've
staying
changed.
There.
What happened?
Became 34. It's just like I can't handle it, mate. Honestly, like just one night of just drinking and just having lack of sleep, I'm done in for days now. Yeah. So yeah, I'm definitely at a point in my life which is more focused towards health. And but it's good though, like I like it. And even though these things have been happening, it is making me more aware of, like, you know, to make sure you keep checking yourself. And I actually like it. As much as things have been scary and worrying, it's also turned out to be good and given me a bit of like, okay, I need to actually pay more attention, take better care of myself and my car.
I think it's really good to I think it's really good to talk about it though, because there's like everyone has health issues, right, at some point in their life. And
yeah,
I think it is so important to kind of try and stay as healthy as possible, especially in what we do. Is like, we don't have healthy jobs. Like our lifestyles are not fucking healthy at all.
No way. And not at all, mate. I mean, I don't know about you, but are you still there, by the way? Because you're frozen on mine.
Yeah, my camera is just being an absolute dickhead, and it's really annoying me recently. But we're good. We've got a different camera.
Hey. Oh, mate, I've been growing my beard out. I've been trying to keep up with you, mate, but it's not fucking working.
Good luck, mate. Good luck. That's what I say.
How long have you been growing that for?
I've had it for 10 years now.
Jesus.
9 years, maybe. I don't know.
So I just, before we go back into, what was we just talking about?
Health.
Health and
what were you saying is that it's our lifestyles aren't healthy with what That's we it. Do our jobs.
So before we go into our lifestyle, I was just going to mention about beards. I've never grown my beard out right ever. This is the longest it's ever been, and I don't even know if I like it or not. But recently I've been getting proper rashes all over my chin and flaky skin, and I was like, what's going on? So I rang my friend who's got the biggest beard I know, apart from you. You've got the biggest beard I know.
Yeah.
But my mate called him and he was like, it's dead easy, mate. You get beard oils, you brush it, you groom it.
Yeah.
So I bought these beard oils, bought some brushes. I'm in bed at night going, oh, it's actually really nice taking care of your beard. And it's all gone. So like, yeah, it's pretty easy. But
yeah, you got to look after it, mate. Again,
yeah, exactly.
Back to health. And also like flying and lack of sleep is really bad for your skin. So it's like when you, the amount of time we spend on flights, like your skin just dries the fuck out because it's just
That is true. And you just feel absolutely done in. And then we fly all over the world and you're knackered and you go and then you might arrive, say 9, 10 p.m. at night, but then you've got to play at 12 or 2. And I always find it difficult to manage to just squeeze in a sleep. I just can't. And also when I do squeeze in that little hour or two nap before your show, I sometimes feel worse for it because your body's trying to go into sleep, but then you force yourself to get up. Then you go to the club, then you play till whatever time. It's a very unhealthy life to live. I'm like, that's why another thing that I'm feeling happy about where I'm at now, because like I do take more consideration into like my health around it. Like, I know I need sleep now. So whereas when I was younger, didn't want sleep. I just wanted to keep going and partying and staying up. Now I'm like, no, I actually need to get sleep. And you're so right. Like we just need to have like, I need at least 8 hours, 9 hours sleep, mate, to sort of feel recovered.
Really? Because I'm pretty good with lack of sleep, but it's more so like, I have to do certain things. Like I have to train. If I don't work out like on a regular, I go downhill and then I get sick and then I feel shit. I have to eat reasonably healthy. If I'm not eating healthy, it just fucking gets, if I'm not cooking myself. So like if I do like a really long tour and don't have any periods of like when I'm cooking healthy food for myself, like it's really hard to eat healthily when you're like touring.
Massively, mate. This is one thing I struggle with. So
you're vegan as well, right? So it must be even harder.
I've been vegan for like, 9, 10 years. But recently, basically, I've stopped being vegan because I'm not even... this is the thing. I was vegan. I've always not ate meat.
Yeah.
But when I look back, I remember when I first started and stopped... So when I first stopped eating meat and stopped having fish and all this stuff, we used to be, I'm vegan, because it was like the new thing. And I think it was just like this title that you wanted to be people to like know you of and of all that shit. Now as I've got older, I don't care about that, because really back then I was still wearing leather shoes. I was still eating honey. So you're not actually vegan.
Yeah.
I just didn't eat meat. It's plant-based. But like as my lifestyle has just been so hectic over the past, like for them 9 years that I was touring and just being vegan, mate, like eventually towards the back end of that, because now I actually, if I'm starving and I'm in an airport and there's just nothing, but there might be a margarita pizza or something, I'll be like, I'm just going to have it. It makes me feel sick because I can't have dairy.
Yeah.
But in certain moments, I'll be like, I'm starving and I don't want that lettuce salad that's just there from an airport. I need something else. So I'll just have something like that. And I just have things here and there. So I'm not even like vegan now. I don't call myself vegan. But the point is that when you don't eat meat, it's very difficult to even eat anything good in airports because you've only really got Burger King to do vegan burgers and chips. And then another stall might do a sandwich. I used to buy sandwiches, right? Baguette, a ham and cheese baguette, take the ham and cheese out and buy a packet of crisps and put crisps in it. And that would be like something that I'd eat. And eventually over time, I didn't realize how much food was important to me. I didn't know. But when I've been touring and playing all the time, going to a hotel in say Italy or South America, and they don't have any vegan options at all. Like in Italy, they think you're gay if you don't eat meat. No joke. I actually got took to a, so I played in Italy for some guy and he knew that I was vegan at the time. And he was like, right, I'm going to take you to this restaurant. And I never really go to artist dinners really anymore. I used to, but not anymore. But anyway, he took me to this restaurant and I'm not even kidding you. He took me to the most like meat place you could go to. They had all the meat body, like bodies of cows and legs hanging from the ceiling. It was just covered in meat everywhere. And he sat me down and he just drilled into me about how I didn't eat meat. And I was like, I can't believe he's brought me here. He's obviously he's obviously offended by it. He's like, you need to see it. You need to be around it. And yeah, but yeah, he told me that people think, he was like, if my grandparents or parents heard that you were vegan, they'd just think you're gay. Like, well, maybe I am.
Yeah, I think that's the thing for me is like what I've worked out. And I like, I'm pretty into health and fitness, and I always have been. And sport was always like a big thing. Sport was either, it was for me, it was either rugby or music. But like, the more and more I've like, as we've traveled and like researched more and listened more, like what, and it makes sense, but you're just not taught it when you're a kid. But it's like what you put into your body is what you get out of your body. And if you're putting shit in your body, you're going to get shit out at the end of the day, and it's going to make you feel shit. And it's catch 22, right? Because we all want that sweet. We all have that sweet tooth. We all fancy something nice and a treat.
Oh, yeah, mate. I'm well bad for it. Every time I go to the shop, I'm like, should I get that ice cream? No. Fuck it. I'll just get it tonight. I won't have it again.
Yeah. So are you like allergic to dairy, or are you just don't?
I think I'm lactose intolerant because of what it does to my stomach. It actually makes me feel, I don't actually physically be sick, but I feel sick.
Yeah.
I can have little bits. Like, for example, if I ate a chocolate bar, I would definitely feel it and know that I've had it, but I'm not going to be sick. I just might feel a bit like, ugh.
Yeah.
But I've never really checked if I'm lactose intolerant, but I just, the way that affects me, I would say that I probably am. My stomach gets bloated. I just feel like weird. So yeah.
Do you know Hotel Chocolat, the brand?
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I'm not really that.
Get involved with their chocolate. A lot of it doesn't have dairy in.
Right.
And it's fucking banging.
Thing is, I'm trying to lose weight, mate. And if I get into that, that's okay, me
don't.
Just...
Don't like, get to the gym. Get to the gym and fucking work out.
I go to the gym. Like, I literally, I've been off now. I've been going to the gym about 3-4 times a week.
Congrats. That's amazing.
Know, I have certain days off. Like, I'm motivated to go to the gym. But after I've done about 3-4 days, I can easily just sit here and just do whatever. But yeah, like, so I do that. But I also struggle with weight. I'm always constantly trying to like lose weight because I'm putting on weight, which usually when I'm traveling, like I said, in the airports, Burger King, and you're starving, I might get two burgers. Then you get to the next airport and then you eat another one. It's just like, so.
Do you have a trainer?
I did do, but it did my head in because I couldn't be asked to socialize. I just wanted to just go in there and do my thing. And he was a sound guy, but like, he was making me do stuff that I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. I just wanted to push. I like doing weights, like free weights and stuff. That's what I do when I go. But I have been thinking about getting a personal trainer again.
I've got an idea for you.
Go on.
And I don't know if you'll have to tell me if it's like your vibe or not. But
go on.
Quite a lot of my friends at the gym, they have online trainers.
Right.
So you pay like a subscription to an online trainer. They give you an app. In that app, they tell you what you have to do. You mark what you've done and everything like that. They tell you your nutrition, what you should and shouldn't be eating. They do like weekly calls with you, but you don't ever see them. Like, they're just, it's just an online thing. So you like kind of are monitoring it yourself, but you don't have to do that social thing. And you tell them what you like and what you don't like to do. And it's also cheaper.
To be fair, I would actually like that because then it's just, the thing is for me, like I said to you before, I'm a socially anxious person, not in a bad way. I can socialize and obviously I'm around thousands of people every week playing and stuff. So, you know, I can handle it. But I think because I'm burnt out of being in clubs and around people, now I really like my own time. Like, I love being home. When I come home, it's like a holiday. I just can't wait to be home. So when I had the personal trainer, it was like, back then, also, I wasn't as into the gym as I am now. Now, I actually love going and I've got my routine. I know what works. I really push myself. I push myself to the point where I can't even lift anymore. Whereas back then, I probably was like going, no, I can't be arsed. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then I had this guy and he's really sound, but like, I just would turn up and you end up talking a lot. And I was like, really, I can't be arsed. So this online thing might actually be there.
Mate, I think give it a bash. Like, I'll happily put you in touch with some people that I know that
do it.
Let's
do it after this, mate. Send me what you've got.
It is a bit of a game changer. And I think, and I agree with that. It's like, sometimes you just want to get in and you don't want to have a conversation with people and you just want to... What do you think that is? Because I know, like, when you first start touring, right, it's all exciting and it's great and it's the best. We have the best job in the end of the world. I don't care what
anyone says.
We
have
the best job. But there does come a point when... There's a turning point in your career where it's like, I don't want to do as much. I want some time alone. What do you think that is What has that process been for you?
So, like, for me, like you said, when I first started out, I was very different when I first started out. Like, I had so much confidence. I was full of confidence.
Yeah.
And I loved being around people. I would love to socialize. I was always very sociable. As I've got older, like, I think with me, I just kind of started to struggle with the lifestyle. I personally struggle with being a DJ.
Yeah.
I love it. Like you say, it's the best job you could ever have. Like, we have the most amazing experiences. We meet so many amazing people. Like, so grateful for every single thing that I've had in this life. It's taught me loads. I've grown up loads. Like, I've definitely grown up as like a man, as a person over the last few years. And this life's given me all that, because I've had a lot of lessons to learn, and I've had a lot of challenges, a lot of difficulties, and I'm still going through that all the time. It never seems to give up with me. It's just constant. Even though I'm like, life's great, I'm always feeling like I'm faced with all these different obstacles and challenges and personal development and all this stuff, which is also a really good thing, but it can be difficult when you're also exhausted and tired. And I think I just burnt myself out. I think I just partied too much. I used to take too many drugs. I used to just enjoy all that too hard, to the point where I really started to feel myself struggle in it. And I've always been a sensitive person. I'm very sensitive to energies and environments and people. And just, I've always been like that. Like, I'm a spiritual person anyway, so I feel very in touch with energies and things like this. And when I'm in them environments, I find it quite intense, especially around certain people. And I think just coming home, I think from being away so much, I don't know about you, but I always crave coming home and just being like, I can't wait to get home. And then you get home and you might only have 2 days and you're so happy to be home, but then suddenly you're back at it again and you're like, oh God. Then you go away for another 3 or 4 days or 2 days or a week, or however long it is. You come home, you might have another just 2 days.
Yeah.
And eventually over time, I just started to really struggle. And like now, for me, when I come home, do you know what? COVID actually sort of really made me go, hang on a minute. I just want COVID to be a thing forever, because it's great. I was just at home and I felt like all this stress that I'd had from traveling and all the exhaustion sort of went away, and suddenly my mind opened up to all these different ideas and projects I wanted to create. I felt way more creative. I felt like I wanted to focus on things more. And I started my record label. I started my YouTube channel, where I'm a geek. I do gaming and film reviews on my YouTube channel. It's a geeky thing, but I had the time in my brain to feel like I could focus on this stuff. And I don't know, I think I've just got to a point now where I just really enjoy my own company. I never get lonely. I love being on my own. I'm very close with my friends, so I'm always like on the phone with my friends or playing games with my friends or something. But I just love being alone. And I think it's just, I think we've just had an intense lifestyle for so long that now, as I've got a bit older, like, I just feel the most comfortable when I'm just like this. But like I said, I've just had a bit of time off, and now on Friday, tomorrow, I'll go play music on Destino in Ibiza for the closing. And I can't wait, because I've had a bit of time off. Do you know what I mean? I'm like really looking forward to it. I've got new music. I've been away for like last couple of weeks. Can't wait to see everyone. So do you know what, mate? Like, it might be like sometimes I just need a bit of a break, because now I actually want to be around people. I can't wait to socialize.
Yeah.
I think it's just, I feel so tired.
Do you think it's just more of the whole balance thing, right? And
to be honest, mate,
And balance is different to everybody, right? It's like we all have different things that we all have different needs and we all have different wants. And from what I'm hearing from you, it's like more so, okay, like, well, we're touring 52 weeks of the year. Well, let's skip that down to 42 weeks of the year and have 10 weeks off throughout the year. And
massive 100%.
And realistically, like, it's 10 weeks worth of not earning money, but that 10 weeks worth of not earning money, you're probably going to be way more productive, which will then in the long term, in business sense, earn more money for you. But also your mental health is way better.
Yeah, mate, like your health. Yeah. I mean, like we've been saying, like, I've realized now how much your health is so important. Obviously, health means everything. It's more than everything, you know? So like last year I took a month off. I've never done this before, and I plan to do this every year now. And it's exactly what you just said. I took 4 weeks off and I flew me and my best friend to Lake Tahoe in America. Do you know Lake Tahoe?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
You been before?
Yeah, I've been a bunch. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I was like, I love nature. I never get to be in nature because I live in the central of London. There's no nature near me. I miss nature. I want to be around nature, and yeah. I just don't have it. I mean, there is parks and shit, but you have to walk ages.
It's
and
not the same.
I can't be asked to walk to a park.
It's not the same as well.
It's not the same. It's just like shitty parks. It's not even nice grass. And yeah. It's like, yeah. So I went to Lake Tahoe, took 4 weeks off, rented out this sick place. And me and my friend, we went there and we just did whatever we wanted to do. We were hiking. We went skiing. We had bears fighting on our garden and stuff at night. Yeah, two black bears. And we would see them walking about because they're just, you know, bears are all over in Lake Tahoe. You don't see them all the time, but you do come across them. But, mate, like after that 4 weeks, I totally felt like that was the best thing I've ever done for myself. Yeah. And then I went back to work and I was just like, I actually was ready for it. I felt excited and I made loads of new music. And it felt like I'd given myself that time to sort of relax, sort of decompress, sort of. I went there, just was sober for a whole month, didn't drink. I mean, we had drinks here and there, but it was like, it was nothing really. Yeah, and I felt just so good for it, came back, and I was ready to go again. And I was like, I need to do that all the time. The thing is, I've just had a few weeks off, and I would have spent this time doing music, but I haven't listened to music because of my ears, so I haven't been that productive now. But I definitely think it's important for us DJs to have time off. A lot of DJs take January off.
Yeah. Over the years, I've really struggled taking time off. I've never enjoyed it. But this year more so, especially like the second half of the year, I've kind of like just decided to take a bit of time off. And I got to the point where a couple of weeks ago I was off and I was texting my manager, Ryan, and I was like, dude, I don't want to fucking tour this weekend. Cause I'm just like, I'm actually really enjoying like spending time with family and spending time with friends. And it makes, I don't want people to think we sound ungrateful for what we have, because it's not that at all.
Not that at all.
It's like we have the best job, but I think for us to be our best, for us to turn up on the day and be the best possible version of who we are as DJs, as producers, we need that mental break. And I think what you said, like you've just had like a few weeks off with no music. There's something fucking amazing about that.
Yeah, I mean, I've just spent the last 6 months learning how to code and make games. Wow. So I'm actually making games at the minute on Unreal Engine. So
that's sick.
Yeah, I've made like four games. What I say made, I've made like levels. It's not a complete game. My plan is to like finish one of them within 4 years. Yeah. I've got a friend who's a game developer at like a really big games company. He's working on it with me now as well. So I've just been doing that, man, and like. Yeah, I mean, I've been wanting to make music. I've got projects I need to finish, remixes. I've got my own projects, some collabs, collaborations. But obviously, because my ears have just been knackered, I've just sort of given myself a break. So, yeah, and it is important to have time off, and it is important to sort of take care of yourself. And like you said, it's not because we're not grateful. We're so grateful. I think all DJs are really grateful for the life that we have. There's no way you couldn't be, because of the amount of experiences that we get to have and share with all these different people, like the amount of people that we meet, new people, and they're just, you know what, like I've noticed a lot more recently in my career. Now I'm like partying less and I go to my gigs and I try and like be a little bit more balanced and stuff. I actually take in a lot of people's emotions and energy more. Like I pay attention to the crowd a lot more, and just being stood there and seeing how people are happy and how they're all dancing. It's because of you, you're giving them this experience for the night or however many hours. And like just seeing their emotions and how happy they are, like that actually has started to give me like something that I never used to get. I used to be like, oh, playing, thinking about me and my music and probably taking drugs and drinking too much. But now, like, since I've been sort of trying to be a bit more relaxed and balanced and, you know, not just going crazy and just controlling myself, I'm now starting to enjoy other things that I didn't even realize were there now. So there's so many amazing moments, and just seeing how people enjoy it, it's like we're so grateful. But at the same time, there's definitely a level of intensity that just gets to you, and you just need some time off. But you said you don't like having time off. Why? Like what?
I've always struggled with it because I always feel lazy when I take time off. It's like a thing that I'm like on the go all the time. And when it's to the detriment sometimes of everything, because when you're always on the go, you can't necessarily always focus on one thing. Correct, to the extent that you want to, But I'm also a sucker that I'm like kind of a perfectionist, so it has to all be done right. It's not always the healthiest.
And I'm like that with stuff. Like, things have to be, if it's my projects and stuff, like, it's got to be right.
Got to be right.
Like, with my social media team and stuff like that, I must drive them mad because, you know, my manager, my social media team will gather all my videos and photos and stuff, and they always have to run it past me first because it has to be right.
Yeah.
And the amount of times I'm like, no, this little thing's not right. But then I've got my manager and stuff saying, it doesn't really matter. Like, it's still, like, content, and I'm like, I don't care. Things have got to be, in my head, it has to be perfect. Yeah. I'm the same like that. But
what do you think? What do you think that's about it? Where do you think? I think that's it, isn't it? Is we're so passionate about it.
Yeah, we're passionate about it. We want things to be right. And if it's representing you or your brand or you as an artist or whatever it is, especially if it's something you've worked on and you want to, you know, you want to show it to the world, but in the right way, the way you've imagined it or created it. And then someone tries to do it in a different way or put it out or try, if something gets changed slightly, I'm just like, no. And I'll fight to the death until it's right. And it is being a perfectionist. I think but it is good. For a lot of things, sometimes you are right. It can be to your own detriment. But when I'm making music, sometimes that's when I feel like I can be too much of a perfectionist, where the track's probably really good already for certain people. You might make a track and so many people might be loving that if you put it out. But in my mind, it's like, no, this has got to be right. And I could spend so long on it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you end up giving up because you just can't get the right thing. But it's usually when I make music that, and especially remixes, I've always struggled with remixes. I always feel like I want to do the best job ever, and you want to represent that track and you want to have that track sort of in there, but you want to do your own thing. And sometimes you might not get all the right parts. You might not get that many good parts to actually mess around with. And I really struggle. And then I become a proper perfectionist, and it just,
I'm kind of the opposite with music to a certain extent. I'm more so like, and I don't know if this is because I just want to churn it out, but I'm like, okay, well, this sounds good. It works well in my set. On to the next. I don't know why I'm like that.
Some of my tracks, man, like I might make a tune and it might be made fully in an hour.
Yeah.
But then when I was younger, I used to knock them out in 20 minutes. Like Joe Johnson was one of my biggest tunes. It was my very first tune that I released on Hot Creations, and it was a massive tune for me. That's what got me going from sleeping on my mate's sofa, selling drugs, to suddenly not and being touring the world and selling out clubs.
Yeah,
that's what I used. I mean, we just used to do nothing, and we just literally do nothing. I used to live on my mate's sofa, and then now, all of a sudden, I was just traveling the world, selling out these clubs. It was so crazy to me because I was only 20 years old or 21. And it was from this one tune. It took me 20 minutes to make, pretty much.
Mad.
And that was because I just put stuff together and I made it at a house party in front of all these people. And I used to come back from the club. My brain would be filled of all this inspiration from whoever we've been listening to all night. I come home, I plug the speakers in so everyone could hear it. And I just put a kick in and start making the track from scratch, but loud on a speaker. And eventually you'd have the whole party dancing to this tune you just made. And that's how Joe Johnson worked. And all my tunes used to be like that. But as I've got older, I definitely take more time now. But
do you think you lose something by taking more time?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Well, that's a good question, actually, because I think back then I just used to make a sick bass line, and my tracks weren't really that filled. It was like a bass line, like a catchy bass line, chunky bass line, and then like some grooves, some tops, a vocal stab, like just reversed and messed about, and some build-ups, and that was it really. But now as I've, my music's changed, I've got more into, back then I didn't really, I just liked banging tech house. Now I'm into everything. I love, I mean, techno is like, well, you play a lot of techno. Techno is like my favorite sound. And I always wanted to go into that route. And I used to play that. But when I got signed by Hot Creation and started playing with Paradise and stuff, they were like, whoa, you're playing too hard. And they'd always put me on first. I'd always be the first DJ because I'd just started. But in my head, I was like, I was slamming the biggest DJ in the world back then. And I was just banging it out. Like on the first hour, I'd be playing at a festival. There's like no one there. And I'd start out with just like banging it out. And, you know, over time, like you can't just keep banging it out like that.
What do you get to play music on in the, in those parties? Do you get to like bang out a little bit harder? I've never been to a music on party.
No, I mean, I don't actually play. I used to play a lot of techno in my sets. I used to have a mixture of techno and like tech house, but I was always, my sort of sound of techno is the more industrial raw side of it. I love it. But then I used to mix that and blend it with like sort of harder tech house. But now I don't play any techno at all in my sets. Like I would love to do an Alias and go down that route at some point. But if, like for music on, I'll just play my sound that I love, which is more like rolling, tribal, groovy tech house, really. And house. I've got into more house stuff recently. And there's that new sound that sort of come out recently from Holland that everyone's now into. It's like a massive hype sound. Like I don't even know how to describe it. It's basically house music crossed with like deep house, a bit of tech there. It's like deep tech. I love all that stuff as well. So
my is this what the kids are calling minimal now, but it's not minimal?
Yeah. It's not minimal, but yeah, that's kind of where people go, oh, minimal house. There's so many different genres now, isn't there? It's like, how would you sort of say what it is?
I was talking to a mate from San Diego, and she's like way younger than me, like 10 years younger than me. And she was like, oh, yeah, I'm really into minimal right now. I'm like, minimal? Like, is it back? Like, that ended in 2008. And then she sent me a record that was apparently a minimal record. I was like, this isn't the minimal I know. But happy days if it's the new minimal. But it's popping off.
I mean, I think minimal has always still been there. But, you know, it's kind of like you go to Romania and shit and you hear it from Maresh and Radu and all them guys. That's where you're going to get like the minimal. And there's still loads of sick minimal DJs, but minimal years ago, like, remember when there was like, it was like electro with minimal and it was all the plinky plonky sort of. That was minimal. That was proper minimal. I used to love that. That's got me into this sound.
I love that. Yeah.
Remember like Luciano's remix of RG Love Dose. Yeah. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
I used to love that sort of stuff.
What year was that?
Now. Oh, like 2005, I think it was.
What was it called again?
Love Dose, Luciano remix.
Love Dose remix. I got to Google this. When did this come out? 2008. Yeah, that was like the minimal. That was when, can you remember Salmon Heater came out?
Salmon Heater was sick.
It was on at the gym this morning. I was like, why is that being played at the gym?
But yeah, that tune was absolutely class.
Massive.
It just had a vibe back then. It was all minimal, and it was like, I remember before I ever went to Circle Loco at DC10, you would hear like the mixes of Luciano and Tanya Vulcano and Loco Dice.
Teeny.
To play them, and just it had that feel, that vibe. It was Salmon Heater and all the different sort of minimal tracks that were going on. And I kind of miss that. I'd love it if that came back. I'm sure it will at some point.
I think that it was just a scene for then, though. Like it was the industry was very different then.
Yeah.
It was more so about crews way more than it is now, in my personal opinion. Like, I don't think you get the crews that you used to get then that you do now.
The crews, like, do you mean like a crew, like a people?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. I was so young then, so I wasn't really aware of anything with the scene. I just started partying for the first time. I was probably like 20 or something.
Yeah, because I was living in Ibiza then. 2008, it was like my second or my first full season of Ibiza, and it was like the Italian minimal crew, DC10 obviously, and it was just like, it was just super fashionable then, super fashionable.
Yeah
But you had to be uber cool to be in those cliques. I was never that cool.
I guess so. It was like when Villalobos and Luciano were just like young and just getting to that scene. And I would have loved to have gone to Circo Loco back then where they had no roof and I think special. It was sand.
It was special, man.
Did you go to that as well? Like where there was no roof? Fuck.
Yeah, special.
Oh, I missed all that. That's annoying.
And you'd get your phone pickpocketed from DC10.
That still happens. That still goes on. So I've got a question, right? So just with music, how... With you, when you're playing and you're touring, when you come home, do you find the motivation to actually sit and make more music, or do you struggle with that?
This year's been very different. I've been working... I've actually really, over the last year and a half, really not enjoyed writing music for clubs. Like, I've kind of gone through this stage of, like, I still write music for clubs, but I've not really loved it as much as I used to. So I decided to work on like a different project for me as an artist, but like kind of just spread the genres a little bit and work on like a bigger body of music. And that for me has been, I've been doing that for 18 months. And that's been just way more exciting for me.
Because it's just fresh. It's like a new thing and it's exciting. Like when I've made hip hop and rap and stuff like this before, I've even made like film scores just in my spare time. I know I'm probably never going to do anything with it, but sometimes I just go, do you know what? I've even made jazz music and it's just, I think it's the experimental side of it. You're like, do you know what? I'm going to try this. And you find samples, search a jazz loop or sample or whatever, and you try and work with it and it's just exciting. It's just different. So I can totally see why.
Yeah. I think what we do is so great, but it's also very limiting on being creative because we write, or for, I can only speak for myself, but I write music for the club, right? Because that's what we do. And we want to play new music every weekend. And I want to have like a set full of like records that nobody knows. And they're all my own records. So like for me, when you're just making, you're churning out records left, right and center. And I love that process, but I think there comes a point when I don't listen to club music now. I don't listen to like house, techno or anything like that when I'm not playing.
Never.
No. And I think that's the thing is like, I want to make something that I want to listen to and I can listen to like when I'm doing the dishes or like just chilling out and like, or like play something to somebody that isn't into club music. It isn't into like house or techno. And I can play them like a song that I've written or something like that. And just kind of reach a different audience that isn't just focused on putting some gurners and raving. And as much as I love that, if you know what I mean, it's just, I think I, because, and I think it will come back to me, but I just need to kind of, I've just stepped away from a little bit more this year and kind of where like, and I've seen it on my record box. Cause like I was going through my records in like 2018, I wrote like 56 records, 20. And like each year it's like gone less and less and less and less. But they're just, I don't know. It's strange. And what with the podcast and with everything else I'm doing, I like have to structure my schedule a lot more where like before it was like, I would just studio all the time and that's all I wanted to do. Whereas like with other life things that's happened, like, and other things that I've decided to do with podcasts and other things in my career, like studio time's a little bit more sparse than what it used to be.
Yeah, and I agree, man. I used to make so much music. I used to make music pretty much all day, every day, for the very, well, up to from 16 years old when I started making music to when I got signed when I was 20, I think, or 21. I used to make music all day, every day, in headphones. I'd make it, everything would be redlining. I'd have to have it loudest it would be possible. Loudest possible, that's probably why my ears are so fucked. But then after that, I started DJing and I would still make loads of music, but I definitely realized, like, after the first year of touring, because like everything went from me never DJing, doing nothing, and then suddenly I was touring the world and flying everywhere, I kind of felt like, oh, I've made it. I've made it. And then I stopped making music. And after a year, started to realize that, hang on a minute, I haven't actually been putting out any music at all. And then I started getting back into it again. And I think I'm always up and down. There's moments where I get really motivated.
Yeah.
But definitely as I've got older, And I guess I've got more tired and exhausted from just playing around all the time. And now I struggle more than I ever did with the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Also, I think that comes down to a lot of the balance with me, of my health. And, you know, like I said, I literally don't even party really anymore. Yeah. It's not my thing. I don't want to go to after parties or anything like that. So I think I've just sort of beat myself up over the years of just playing. I just became exhausted. I just stopped making music. Not stopped, but found it more difficult to find the motivation to make music. So yeah, now it's more of like, I have to really get myself into the motivation. Whereas before, I always had it. I always had that inspiration, but I also used to go out a lot and listen to DJs and come home with loads of inspiration. Whereas now I don't do that. Yeah. I just go and do my set. Yeah, I might hang around a little bit or I might hear someone else play, but it's mainly I just hear myself play. And it's always the same tunes until you get the new set of tunes. And, you know, I come home and I don't really get that. I don't really have that inspiration, so I struggle to sort of try and make stuff. I still make music, of course, all the time, but definitely not as much as I used to. But I was just interested in how...
It's exactly the same for me. And it's weird because I've never been a raver. Like, my first experience in a club was me DJing. And so I've never had that, like, rave aspect of my... I've never been a partier. Like, I don't drink. I haven't drank since I was 21. So, like, my whole, like, full-time career in music, I've never partied. And I never really get inspiration from the club, like, listening to other DJs play. And I actually struggle listening to other DJs play, which is weird. Yeah, I really don't. There's only, like, a couple
Why is that? Why is that?
I don't know. I think I'm really competitive.
Yeah, and do you know what? I am, actually. I've noticed that. But carry on.
Yeah, I'm really competitive. And there's only... And this... It sounds really disrespectful. And this isn't me being disrespectful. It's just honest truth. Is that, like, I'd rather be DJing than see somebody else DJ. Simple. And...
Yeah, I can relate to that. I mean, there's certain DJs I love watching.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy it. But... We can't help the feeling every time that I wish I was just doing it instead.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, for me, like, yeah, there's, like, Maceo is one person that I love to see. Like, I put a Maceo set on all day, if you know what I mean. I love what he does. But I think also the reason why I love what he does is because it's so different to a lot of other people. It's not, you're getting a Maceo set. You're not getting another set that anybody else can play. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's really strange. I've always been, like, more into, like, the live aspect, like Chemical Brothers, Faithless, Prodigy, like that kind of intensity of electronic band, I guess. Rather than
Faithless, mate. I just love them.
The best.
Like, Matthew Jazz is just the absolute legend. He was the first, when I went to Creamfields when I was younger. Yeah. Like, that was one of my first ever clubbing experiences. And I went to see Faithless and it just blew me away.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. I was like, what the hell's going on? It was the best experience ever. Like, Chemical Brothers, they're all sick. I've never really been that into Chemical Brothers. And I don't know why. Maybe I haven't really given them... I've never really spent enough time listening to the music. And I know the music, but they were never, like, a thing that I always... sort of gravitate towards, but definitely Faithless, man. They're just absolutely class.
Iconic.
Prodigy as well, mate. Seeing the Prodigy, that was just the next level experience as well.
Early Fatboy Slim as well, like that first
Fatboy
album.
Fatboy Slim.
Early, yeah. Like his stuff early on was just iconic. But like, we're similar ages. It's like, it was very much our childhood growing up, so it makes sense. It's like you ask your parents what do they like listening to now, it's still what they listen to when they were kids. So
exactly. That's why I always wonder. I'm like, hang on a minute. So when we're older, are we going to be like 85 and like dressing how we do with tattoos and just listening to like banging techno and favorite stuff? Yeah, we are definitely.
I had Hannah Leng on the podcast. I think it will be out by the time this comes out. Maybe, maybe not. Her parents had her young. Like, I think her parents had her when they were 17, and she grew up listening to trance with her parents. And then you're like, oh, it makes sense why you make the music that you make, because it's like, that's what you grew up on.
And
it makes sense realistically.
I grew up on happy hardcore and Gabba.
Well, I'm glad you don't make that.
I know, yeah. I still love it though. Like, I don't listen to it ever, but like if I hear any certain like happy hardcore bonkers, do you remember Bonkers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to love all that shit. But yeah. I am from Blackpool. I was like a massive chav. I was a little shit. But back then it was just like that was, you know, I was young and it was great. I used to walk around school with earpods in listening to Gabba. Stupid, but
one of my mates came out to America with me this weekend, just gone, and he was saying like a couple weeks ago he went to see Scooter live. Can you remember Scooter,
mate? Oh god, I would love to see them live.
I know, right? Like I think he's got like a bit of a resurgence coming back because obviously the whole hard house is like massive now. I think he's like coming back. I'd love to see him.
Love to see him, mate. I mean, I haven't heard any new tracks from them for so long, but I remember Logical Song
and Move Your Ass. Oh, so good, man.
Yeah, it was so, so good, wasn't it? Yeah. It was just that, like, that pitched up, like, girl's vocal that he'd have in it. Like, his voice wasn't even that great, but it was, like, the perfect match between him and that, like, high-pitched, like, squeaky girl singing. It was wicked. I love it.
Oh, that was that was, like, 1995. Like I think
1995.
Yeah, Logical Song came out a bit later. Like when did I got to Google this? Scooter Logical Song.
Yeah, I must have been six.
2002. Logical Song came out.
Ah, right. 2002.
Move Your Ass. When was that out? 1995. Yeah, I was right. Jesus Christ, I was five.
I was six.
Yeah, that's mental. I still have the CD with it on. Crazy.
Yeah, love it.
Crazy times. I want to talk about a couple of things. I was in Colombia for the first time this year. I think it was last year. And I was with my manager Ryan at the time, and he mentioned that you do this like crazy party out in Colombia every year. And yeah. I was like, how, why? This is random as fuck, but I need to know more details.
Do you know what? It is random, and they love it because I've got this huge thing going on over there, but I'm just some random Jack Black lookalike from the UK. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't fucking match. Like, I shouldn't be doing it, but I am.
Yeah.
So like, it's an amazing thing, mate.
What is it?
Probably. It's probably one of the best experiences that I've had and continue to have.
Yeah.
Especially something that I've created in my whole career. So basically, the party that I do is at Comuna 13.
Yeah.
Comuna 13 is basically a load of favelas. It's a comuna. It's ran by two gangs, and 10 years ago it was the most dangerous place in the world. They were like rivals. The two gangs who run the whole community were like against each other. There was all these gunfights and sort of like civil war going on in the favelas. The government never like helped them. They're just like in poverty. And it's these gangs obviously just run by crime or whatever. And they were at each other. And then at one point, these guerrillas came in from the hills from, I don't know where in Colombia they came from, but these guerrilla warfare, whatever, they came over the hills into the community and they just started shooting up the place, and then all these gangs were against them. It was a full-on war going on. Then the actual government sent in military, and they were like in choppers with guns and everything. All the military went down, supposedly all like the military killed loads of innocent people who were just probably on the streets. And now like there was just this whole war going on in this community, right? And obviously it was so dangerous to be there, but that was 10 years ago. And in that time, there's a lot more details into it that I aren't clued up enough about to be able to explain it any better than that. But they managed to make peace with each other, these two gangs, because obviously they don't have any money coming in. And because the place was so dangerous, the government never helped them. No one went there. They were all just turning to crime to probably help fund their, you know, they help pay for the family's lives, for food and stuff. And eventually, they somehow managed to make peace with each other to eventually now where it's at, where they have all this graffiti that they make. It's like all these streets are filled with graffiti, and they do graffiti tours. So people go to the community, they have a tour guide, it'll take you around, you see all this graffiti. It's just like a, you know, an experience to walk around these favelas and see all this cool art that all the kids are doing, all the, you know, whoever's doing, I don't even know exactly who's doing all the graffiti. I know the kids are part of it, but through that time, they've ended up bringing in a lot of tourism in. So then now they have all different shops and stores and bars. And now when you go there, it's a totally safe place. I mean, I'm sure there's dodgy things going on. I've experienced some scary stuff in there at one point, which I'll talk about. But it's actually a really beautiful place. It's really different. And I just, there's something about the energy there because of the history of it. You kind of know that you're in the ghetto, really. It's just, you can see all everyone around you. You're like, can you trust anyone? I don't know. But I just feel really comfortable there. So when I went there on a tour, there was a load of us that went over there. Like during COVID times, we ended up all going on this trip together. Me and like, I got brought out there with Richie Ahmed to be like personal DJs for this like private group of people. Yeah. And we just traveled the world and we ended up in Medellin in Colombia, and that's where the Comuna 13 is. So we went for a tour. We met this tour guide called Nico, who I became good friends with. And we just suggested to him, like, could we do a party here? Because we were thinking about trying to get Boiler Room to do a whole Boiler Room set of me playing in the Comuna. Boiler Room wasn't interested when we put it forward to them. So I was like, well, fuck it. Why don't we just do it? So last minute, I think we did it over the course of like 3 days. We just announced it. This was the first time we did it. I was over there. We had 3 days. I organized all the speakers. I basically organized everything, the speakers, camera guys, all the decks, paid for everything. And then we found a spot in the community and we just set up decks. We announced it online, free party, come down to Comuna 13. Now, I was expecting a few people to turn up, but I didn't. It's quite out the way as well. It's probably like 40 minutes from the center of Medellin. So I wasn't really expecting too much, but it's always busy because it's tourists. There's so many tourists walking around the streets, but there was about 300 people showed up and it was just such an amazing day and experience. And the amazing thing was that obviously I had to talk to the gangs and they had to sort of give me a go at it. They allowed me to try it out. And they're all there. The gangs are all partying with you. You've also got the gang's parents and all the kids and the parents of the kids. And they're all there. You've got old women. They're all dancing. And like some of these old women have stalls where they sell all of their food and drinks, obviously pay for their rent or, you know, just whatever they need. And I would give them the money to just shut their shop for the day. Mm. And they don't need much. So you can give them $100 or $200 or whatever. And they might even pay for them to have food for a week.
Yeah.
So they're more than happy. So they shut the shop so we could have this space and they'd stay there partying with us. And that experience, having not only having your fans, but having like the community all come, then all the little kids came and I've got all the kids and they're all on my shoulders and I'm teaching them how to DJ. And whilst I'm doing a full set, I've actually got like 5-year-old kids that are actually mixing in and messing about, and it became like this magical experience that I wasn't really expecting. So since then, because of how well that went, we've just been doing it every year now, and we did it again this year for the third time. We had 3,000 people show up.
Damn.
So it's like it's just getting bigger and bigger to the point now we're like a little nervous because we're like, hang on a minute, if we're getting thousands show up, how are we meant to, like, what happens next year if 5 turn up? And it was rammed this year.
Yeah.
And there's all these, I don't know if you've seen the videos, but there's all these different levels. And
yeah,
all these
I've been on it. I've been there. It's amazing.
You've been there, yeah. But where we DJed, it's like the stairs and I'm playing over these massive staircase that goes down. It's not the ideal location because you don't really want to have the crowd going down on stairs, but it was the biggest spot that we found so far. So it's just been an amazing experience. And it's one of them experiences that you just don't really get. I mean, we get it a lot in certain places, but because of the history, because, you know, this is all me organizing it with gangs. And then they're messaging me afterwards going, you have our respect. And then every time I go, it's like, you know, it's like family. They're all like, hey, waf, and they all take care of me. And it's like a really surreal experience because you know where you're at. And and you know, this place was super dangerous not that long ago. And you know that the people who run the place were probably part of all the war and shit that was going on before. But now they're there and they're all like really nice people and you're partying with them. And it feels totally safe. And it is safe. They don't have crime there now because, like, they don't, if they have any crime there, that's going to stop the tourism coming in, which is going to stop their way of life now, which is actually they're thriving a bit. So
which is also really unheard of, isn't it? Because favelas are known to be terrible places.
You wouldn't just go to, like, when you go to Brazil, like, I mean, people would say don't go to the favelas. No. I guess it was probably the same here, but now it's more like go there, it's an amazing time, you have an amazing experience. And mate, just seeing all the kids, like, afterwards, I got a phone call from the guy Nico who organized this with me and the gangs. I got a call from him, and it's all the little kids behind him, and they're talking to him, and he's translating it to me, and they're all now wanting to learn music and become DJs. So I'm now planning to open up and build a school there. Sick. Where I'll go over and teach the kids and help them out learn how to make music and play music. But, you know, people, I'll give jobs for people to go and teach and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that we're going to try and do with it. It's not just going to be the parties. Now the government's interested. The government really wants to get on board, and we're getting all these sponsors.
Amazing.
So it's just getting bigger and bigger. The only issue is, though, like, if the government gets involved, we don't want any sort of like different restrictions. They might, you know, for health and safety, which is fair enough, but we don't know what's going to happen if the government gets involved. They might sort of try to like change things a lot. But yeah, it's one of the best things that I've experienced. And also it's my own party. It's free. So yeah, it's just one of those things that
there's something really special about giving back to a community, right? When you don't even, you're doing it for no financial gains, like zero financial gains.
Yeah, I mean,
gains.
It cost me like $6,000 this year to pay for everything.
But it's also like, it could cost you $20,000 and you would still do it. Because it's the best feeling when you help people, right?
Yeah, amazing. And one of the best things I also heard as well this year was that all of the families that live in that exact spot that we were in, everyone around it who obviously is working on the nights with the bars, selling drinks, selling food, all the old women that are selling like cakes and stuff they've made, supposedly they made so much money from this party that they can actually, that they've made enough money to eat for like half a year and stuff. And not just one, like families. I got told that that's the case. But then the problem is with that, because it is run by gangs and there's also like jealousy involved, certain parts of the community are not getting in on that because it's just centered around that spot. So now I got a call saying next year we might need to move to sort of feed another part of the community, which is great as well. It's just finding the location. But yeah, like people are like, it's not just the fact that there's a party for you to go to. The actual community are actually getting a lot of money from this, and they're managing to live more happily. So it's just like,
that's amazing,
it's just an amazing thing. Yeah, I'm so grateful for it.
Yeah, it's I think there's something about that, and I think it's very easy to just get caught up in the world of what we do and like go to these third world countries and just go and play and then leave, and you're literally just playing to the wealthy there, realistically, in the grand scheme of things. Like, they're not that, like, the wealth gap is extreme in those countries.
Massively. It's night and day, really.
Like, I played in India for the first time this year, and you're just like, the wealth gap is just unbelievable.
I've never been to India. I was supposed to play, but I think I can't remember when it was. It just never happened in the end. But it's a place I'd like to go. But what was your experience like?
Honestly, it was one of the best like experiences I've had in music. Like, yeah, the gigs aren't mind-blowing, if you know what I mean, but I went in with zero expectation. I took my dad out with me, Ryan, my manager, came out with me, and one of my best mates came out with me as well. Like, we just had fun, and just, I love Indian food's my favorite food, but like, just,
same. I love curries yes, are my favorite.
The best, just the culture, man, is, and it kind of is a huge, like, it's not a kick in the teeth, but it's like a step back down to reality of like, these people literally have nothing and they will give you the biggest smile and they will literally like be so nice to you. And
do you know what's stupid? I actually did go to India, and that's how mad, like, we played so many places and I actually forgot I went and played in India. I did go and play in India. I did it. In my head, I was like, I've never been. I was supposed to go. No, I actually did go. And I played. And like you said, the gig wasn't mind-blowing. It was still a really good turnout. When I went there, they were playing like trancey, side trance, progressive stuff.
And
when I started playing, I was like, and they were loving it. I mean, the crowd were going mental.
Yeah.
But when I started playing, you could tell at first they were kind of like, what's this new music?
Yeah.
It was different to them. But then by 15, 20 minutes, they're all absolutely going mad. And I had the most welcome experience. And the people, like you said, are amazing. Like, so nice.
Yeah.
And the food's absolutely banging.
Oh,
I just never really got to experience full India. And that's probably why I thought I'd never been. Because it was more, I arrived, went to the gig, and went home. I never got to like go and venture around any of the areas and go down the streets and really take in India. So,
it's an amazing culture. The people are amazing. And yeah, like, there's extreme poverty there, like extreme poverty. And it does make me feel, well, it makes us feel very grateful for what we do have realistically in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, yeah. It does. When you go and see stuff like that and you see the comparison to like how they live compared to us, it's crazy that people have to live in that state of poverty. Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't really be a thing because there's that much money in the world. No one should be living like that. But unfortunately, it's just...
I say the same. The crazy thing is I say the same. Like, we have it very good in the UK. And I know there is poverty in the UK, but we have it very fucking good in comparison to a lot of places. Like, even in America, like, I've lived in Detroit for the last 6 years. And there's literally kids that don't leave the block. There's, like, kids that are living in abandoned houses. And you're just like, how the fuck is... this happening in a country
that is mad though with Detroit, because how is it still like in that state? I just don't get that. Like, I've never been to Detroit. I'd love to go.
Oh, dude, come and hang out.
So you're in Detroit now then?
No, I'm in England right now.
All right.
But yeah, I have a well, I actually just sold it. I have a place in Detroit, but I'm moving back there as well. But yeah, it's a wild... America's a strange place with that, because you'll have extreme wealth and then extreme poverty in comparison. Like, it's not India poverty, it's not like third world country poverty, but it, for a first world country that's the wealthiest country in the world, it shouldn't have poverty like that. It's fucked.
Yeah,
but we got it very good in Europe. Very
yeah
good.
We do.
We're really
you do, and you don't really realize until you go and see something like that and you're like, you can't believe like how that's an actual reality for some people.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing with what we do though, right? We get to travel a lot and see a lot of the world, and you come back and hear everyone moaning about whatever and shit like that, and you're just like, you know what, guys, we've got it fucking good.
Oh, mate, like, this is the thing. So when I was going through my ear situation and I was felt like the world was crumbling, like, I just kept having checks in and going, well, you know, at least I've still got hearing. Some people don't even have certain things. Yeah. Some people's lives totally worse, and you kind of got to be grateful for what you've got.
Totally.
Sometimes you have to check in with yourself and really go, well, you know what, like, yeah, things are difficult, but it could be way worse. People experience so much suffering. There's I'm working with quite a few charities, obviously my record label.
Yeah.
With the profits that we make, we put into, not all of it, obviously we have to cover the cost of stuff, but then we put the rest into animal charities at the moment. But yeah. I've also been in communications with these charities in Africa.
Mm.
And this is just going back to how people live and how much poverty and sadness there is and suffering, because some of these children that I'm now planning to help, they're disabled. And like, there's like almost like disabled homes for these children and families to live in. Who have learning disabilities and or who may be just physically disabled, and they all have, you know, different problems going on. And some of these videos you see are these kids that literally they don't even have a wheelchair and they can't walk, so they're dragging themselves along the floor and all the legs are all like hardened because of how many years they've been dragging themselves across like sandy, rough, dirty, like dusty floor. And I'm watching these videos and I'm like, I cannot believe that people are living like that.
Yeah.
And it's because they haven't got the money to even afford anything. So the next thing that I'm going to be doing is trying to like help, you know, certain charities that I've come across that I'm talking to, is just to try and raise money and give them some money to just give the kids wheelchairs or to build them some like nice little homes. It's like, I would love to go over somewhere and just build someone a home and just find a family that's really struggling, find some like a family that's just, you know, that just need help and they're on the streets, they're selling sandwiches just to try and earn a living. I would love to find someone like that and just be like, right, get your family and here's like a home for you, because it's not even that much. Yeah. This is the crazy thing, is that people are living like that and it's not even that much to be able to afford to build a home over there.
Yeah.
So that's why I find it crazy that the amount of money that people have, I'm surprised that people actually have these conditions. It's really sad and it's way more complex than just, oh, rich people need to give money.
It's way more complex. Way more complex than that.
Way more complex. But yeah, man, it's just.
I think it's a really nice thing. And it goes back to what we've kind of said multiple times, is like helping up. And this sounds selfish, but it's not. But helping other people helps you. And if you can help somebody, whether it's doing whatever, it makes you feel so much better about yourself. In the grand scheme of things.
Well, yeah, because it's just, you feel good about it because it's a good thing that you've done. And it's like, it gives you good energy and you're giving someone else good energy, and just little actions can really, really like affect someone, obviously both sides. But, you know, if you're trying to be good and be positive and take care of everyone, then like, you know, it's just going to come back to you as well in a good way. It's just, it's all round good for everyone by being a good person. So
how can people get involved and help raise money for you for whatever you're for the charity?
So I've been trying to think about certain things. Cause so originally with my record label, I was doing vinyls. I was printing vinyls, and we did the vinyls for, well, I mean, I always wanted to just do my record label is like more of a passion project. I never started my record label to make money. I've had so many different arguments with managers and everyone because everyone has a different viewpoint on businesses. Whereas for me, I'm like, yeah, it's my business and it's going to be equitable, but like it's an investment for my life. And with my record label, we'll bring my events that I'm planning to do next year. So for me, my record label wasn't like, oh, I want to make money. I make enough money DJing. Like, you know, we're blessed with our life and the money that we make. So it wasn't a case of me trying to create like a more of an income. I just wanted to do a passion project, something that I cared about. And I really wanted it to be on vinyls, which I always got advised, don't do that because it's hard to sell vinyl. And the way that I was doing it was expensive with all the colored artwork, the printing of the sleeves, the printing, the color of the vinyl. And yeah, it cost quite a bit, but I just didn't care. And I got advised not to do it. And we sold out every single vinyl each time. So it was really successful. And back then that vinyl was also the way for people to be a part of getting money raised for the charity. So, you know, you'd buy the vinyl. And if you buy the vinyls, the money that you would get, so that I would make from that, we put into, after obviously the costs are covered, we put it into the charity. So that was the way that we were originally doing it. Now I've stopped doing vinyl for the moment because it's just the amount of delays that we were getting because of COVID just messed up all the time frame of factories getting all the vinyls out. They had like, obviously the factory just shut down, suddenly it started up. They were so behind. And then there's all these, you know, there's people like me and however many other labels have started up. They just couldn't keep up with the demand. So they, so many delays. We had so many mistakes happen with the printing. And eventually it was like, I want to release music for all these other artists, but I don't want them to wait 5 months. So we ended up stopping vinyl. We've now just done digital for like this year, which we'll continue to do digital. But now I just, from the earnings, to be honest, this is the thing with me. I don't even look at how much I've earned through it. I don't look. I don't really want to know. I don't check it. I get sent obviously invoices and stuff. I just don't look. I'm happy with the way things are going. I know things are going good. And I will just take each release. I'll just put in a few hundred pounds of the money that we've earned and also money for myself and just send it to the charities that I choose. So anyone who buys the music from a record label Nature, you're already being part of it because I'm using the money to go to charities. I was thinking to sort of maybe do GoFundMes for certain things, but I was kind of just, I kind of haven't decided what I was going to do really yet. I just feel like I'm giving enough at the moment for charities because they always give more, which I always will do. But I think with the selling of releases, people buying it on digital, I just take the money from that, really.
I think it's a nice sentiment, though, isn't it? At the end of the day, you're doing what makes you happy. And we can all do more, right? But at the end of the day, if you're happy with what you're doing, just keep doing it and it will grow eventually. More and more people will understand it. If you keep telling the story, if you keep telling people about why you do it, the records will become more successful because more people want to give.
Simple. Yeah, and also the events, when I do my events, like the money that we make from that, everything that I do, I've always said this, like I will always give back to people. Like I'll always put the money into like helping. So with my events that we're going to have, the money from that, I'll also be putting into charities. Like, and you know, it's going to get bigger and bigger. I really want to work closely with some of these charities because like I said, these kids in Africa, genuinely, you could probably spend 10 grand and build them a so much better life for so many people. And it's like, I would love to do that. And it's not really that difficult to sort of imagine something like this. So I mean, I'm excited to do that. I'd love to work closely with more charities and really be a part of like really helping someone. And then people can get involved as well. Like, it's just,
mate, well, if we can help at all here, like on the podcast, like, honestly, just let me know in future. Like, I'd happily help. And if you want to come on, talk about it more. If send us links and we can put links all in the description and get people to donate or buy records or do whatever, like more than happily do that. It'd be great. It'd be great to do that.
Cool.
What have you got planned for the rest of the year?
So, right now I've got music on, obviously tomorrow. And then I actually have about a week off, then it's ADE.
Oh, yeah, it's
then fast. I go to Thailand for a week. I'm playing at my friend's resort, Baba Beach Club in Phuket. My friend's got like two of the sickest 5-star hotels over there, and nice. They just do amazing parties there. So I'm going over there for a week. Then I'm playing Bali, so I'm going there for another week after that. So it's like a 2-week holiday, but some gigs thrown in there.
Nice.
Then, I've got Dubai. I'm playing with Corolla again for New Year, and then I go to South America, and I'm doing all South America over New Year. So that's pretty much my year.
Sick,
done,
man.
Really. Yeah, it's nice fun. Little holiday thrown in Asia. And then, to be fair, it's going to be pretty chill. I've just had 2 weeks off, just got one gig this week, another week off, then ADE. Then it's like, you know, it's been actually quite a nice end to the year. Sometimes it's a bit like, oh, God. Just intense. But and then January is going to be, I don't really know what to do with January. It's like, I think I'm trying to go to Australia. I want to take off a few weeks, go to Australia. Some of my best friends live over there, and I love Australia. So maybe I'll go there for a little bit, maybe play some gigs, but just take a holiday. Who knows?
Take some time.
But I'm just
out,
working
man.
On a lot of music, mate. I've got a remix that I'm doing at the moment for Max Dean on Rich Harmon's label, 432. Just doing a remix for Mene on Take Notes, Mahoney's label. Nice. I'm doing a collaboration with Render, and then I've got all my own projects. I've got so much music ready to put out next year. So, yeah. You know, I'm making a lot of music. I'm sort of trying to do a bit of a different style next year. I'm going to try and get some releases on No Art and maybe Piv and stuff like this, and just go down a bit more of a housey route, as well as putting releases out on mine. I'm going through a bit of like a transition in my music. My music is still... it's still my music, but I'm influenced by a lot more now, whereas before it was just big tech house bomb tracks, big drops and all that shit. And I still love that stuff, but my music's definitely come down to a sort of different level now, where it's influenced by so many different things. And I'm just working on loads, mate. So I'll probably love just that. Be in the studio and making games and playing games.
Love that, man. Let's wrap this up. This has been I really enjoyed this conversation, man. Thank you so much for coming
too,
on.
Man. Thank you.
It's been wicked. How can people get involved with everything that you do? How can people follow you? How can people kind of listen to your music, et cetera, et cetera?
So get me on Instagram as Jack Black. No, get me on Instagram as WAF DJ. If you don't know me, it's WAF DJ. If you don't follow me, get on there and follow me. And on there, I have like a link on my bio. It links you to everything. But, you know, my Instagram is where I'm mainly at. Don't really use Facebook. I have a YouTube channel where
WAF
it's
World.
Only for geeks, really. WAF World. If you're into movies and gaming and all that geeky shit, then... get me over there. My record label is Nature Records. Well, it's just called Nature, but I have an Instagram account for that. It's all in my Linktree thing that you see in my bio. And if you want to help with the charities and anything, you want to be part of that, then all you need to do is, if you like the tracks, buy the records and keep an eye out for any of the other stuff that I post, because I'll be doing more stuff for charities. And I think just get me on Instagram. I keep everything all on there. So
sick, man. Dude,
that's it, mate.
Thanks so much for coming on, mate. I really, really
thanks,
appreciate
Will,
it.
Thanks, Will, mate. Good to see you, bro.
You too.
Hope I'll see you soon, mate.
Yeah, safe travels, man. Big love.
Yeah, you too, mate. Take
thank
care, buddy.
You. Bye. Stay on, mate.
Bye, guys.
And that's a wrap. Big love to WAF for coming on. Thanks to everybody listening. Please share, please subscribe, get involved on the Discord. Link is in the bio. Big love. Keep safe. See you next time.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.